Get ready to hit the gym.
Basically, I did sled pushes.
Get a nice deep breath. You'd push it, feel good.
Push it. Push it good.
A lot of rowing because you're pushing and pulling with the snow. Mm. And then I did a bunch of throws.
Rob, Jake, and Blake from Sierra Strength and Speed are back with another episode of Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, A Fit Life, The Living Strong Series. And they know that age isn't the enemy.
First and foremost, 45 is so young.
It's so young. You got to be active. And the body is so resilient.
Good as we're getting with everything in science and medicine, like 70 is the new 50, yep. You know? And then
yeah, I want to be 75 and have someone look at me and be like, holy shit.
Challenge yourself, put the work in, and the results will follow.
Don't believe the shit you see in the mirror either. Like, that's the kind of the bigger message is, like, your eyes are lying to you at times. Like, if you're putting the work in, you're pursuing, you know, health through, you know, physical means by working out and eating healthy. Like, don't get down on yourself.
Warm up, because this session with Rob, Jake, and Blake is about to begin.
About time we're back in the facility. Thanks, Chad, for letting us get back in here. Sorry we're slackers and we've been slacking off. Blake's trying to eat his food while we go
because
he was about to throw up because he just did a stupid workout. But we're going to be all over the place today. So where do we start? Let's start with your stupid workout. Go.
Stupid workout. Super pump, mega pump. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 on the back squat. With 135, then straight into leg extension, leg curl, seated chest press, and seated pull downs for 50 on each of those machines at about like 100 resistance on the Kaisers. Then pop straight out of there, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 bench press with 135. Thought I might eat the bar, didn't have to. I think I lifted the last two reps with my abs in my back. I don't even know how I did it, but I didn't use my chest. And then just arm farm. So we did tricep extension, bicep curl, rack run.
Shrugs
with the banded shrugs. So like the rack run was, you'd start at the top with the 45s, 5, down to the 40s, 5, 35s, 5, all the way down, you know, so then go back to the tricep, go around that way, and then get to the top rack, it's all 10s.
You know, I kind of tuned you out after the first thing, so I
got it done in 40 minutes.
We were going to start with something else today.
Yeah, Jake.
So, Jake, tell us what the actual workout today was supposed to be.
I'd like to preface with, I was a little ambitious when coming up.
Did you design that, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you saw it somewhere.
No, I just came up with that in my head, and I was like, sounds like a great idea. Mm-hmm. So you load the sled with 4 plates. So it's 180 pounds of just plates plus whatever the sled weighs. You have to go down and back. You do that. That's one rep. You do it 5 times. You get to peel one plate off. And you go until it's empty. So you're doing 25 down and backs with the sled. I made it,
Jake,
a total of
did you get to where it was empty?
Reps. And said, this sucks ass and I'm going to pass out. So I stopped. And
so
it was poor planning. I didn't eat or drink water before and I had caffeine.
So this was
not a good mix for cardio.
Jake was supposed to do this first thing this morning, which I was there. I got to witness it. It was beautiful. Actually, he posted
beautiful.
It on and what'd you guys
see? Loud and proud. It was on mine.
Okay. Yeah. He did put it out there if you want to see it. So he was going to do it. I told him not to put the time up because Blake will definitely beat it if he posts anything. So then Blake was going to do that, but he heard that Jake didn't. So that's why he did that workout. I didn't think that it sounded very good from the get-go, but after Jake's failure, I was like, I might go back in this afternoon and just see if I can beat Jake and just, you know, we'll go from there. I think I'm going to try this afternoon.
I'll do it over a total of 25 days and my time will be
That is not going to work, Jake. It's
maybe
not acceptable.
3 times down and back is like more, because if you
that's
got to strip that
plate,
thinking. You could get a nice deep breath, you'd push it, feel good.
I was thinking that
I'm
when
pushing
I finished
it five
three,
times today.
I was like, okay. I think if you did 3 at each, it would definitely be more doable.
Well, you could probably, it'd probably be more doable.
If I just ever practiced
30 minutes
before I tried to do it, that would probably help too.
That's thinking about it last night.
Why practice today?
Okay, I got to have a goal in mind. And I'm like, 10 minutes? I'm like, you're drunk, dude.
10 minutes?
10 minutes?
No way. No,
no chance.
You,
it's not even.
Yeah, no way.
I started thinking about it and I'm like, okay, what if I did, my goal would to be do all 5 and then 1 minute rest? Like,
That'd also be impressive.
I don't think. That would be.
I got
to
tell you, like, the cardio got, like, just like.
Killed
the,
you.
The breathing got me killed for sure. You. But the feeling in your legs is like, even after just three with the four plates, I was like, it feels like I'm halfway through a regular leg day.
Really?
Like, it was, they were so punched and I couldn't bend my knee correctly.
Okay,
like,
well, Jesus. Tune in next time to see if any of us have done this.
Four reps next time.
We'll post.
And five reps after
we'll post
what's
this.
What's a realistic time? Like, because then I'm like, okay, oh, 30, if I can finish in 30, I think I smoked it.
30 would
30
still be
to an hour.
Pushing it.
Really?
I was thinking he was going to be close to an hour and I was like, you're going to beat it. But it could be done in less than 30. But you would have
You'd be freaking moving.
Yeah. Because the thing about it, down and back is going to take, if you just went consistent down and back, probably going to take 35, 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Just that times, what do we say, 25 reps?
Yeah.
That puts you, that's going to put you right there at 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's without, I mean, you're literally not taking a rest.
Yeah.
So to do it under 30 would be
impressive.
Nearly,
I was thinking damn close to impossible. Do you just bite the towel and close your eyes?
That's what we fear. That's what I envisioned in my head you would do. I'm like, if Jake posts something, Blake will beat it just because you're just that way. Because
he's a psychopath.
He might put his head through the wall and then go beat it. But anyway. So while we're talking about workouts, I was thinking this weekend and then this came up and it really fucking pissed me off. So I wanted to post a workout of the day, which I never do, right? But as I was out shoveling snow, I'm like, this is just a normal workout, right? So, I mean, you got sled pushes because sometimes I'll just put the shovel in front of me and push it, you know, a certain amount. But then ultimately, you can't just push it down to the bottom of your driveway because then you end up with a big old pile there and no one can get out. So I end up throwing it. So I do different throws, like a med ball side rotation throw. And I'm like, this is a workout. So I wrote down, basically I did sled pushes, you know, a lot of rowing because you're pushing and pulling with the snow. Mm. And then I did a bunch of throws. And then the next day, somebody goes, well, did you see that post that if you're older than 45, you shouldn't shovel snow? And I'm like, what? Who the fuck came up with this? So anyway, if you're over 45 and you live in, you know, Nevada, Northern California, Colorado, you know, wherever there's snow,
Buffalo,
Utah, you should probably move to Florida and tell the government that you just need to get paid for the next 40 years of your life. I'm like, who in the fuck came up with that? Now, it is true that there are people in my age group who go out and shovel snow and have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if you've been laying on the couch for the last 12 years and you haven't done a workout in 12 years, you probably shouldn't go out and shovel snow. But if you take your time, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. You're just going to work on it. It's doable. I'm like, who the frick? I plan on shoveling snow again till I'm 85. I'm like, so at 45, you just shut it down? Really?
Are you shitting me? When it snows.
Who the frick wrote that? Anyway, I'll have to look up who wrote it and DM them and go, honestly, that's the biggest crock of shit.
Yeah,
like my buddy says, who we're going to get on the podcast soon. He, never say never. And it's never always. You know, there's just no absolutes on either side. But what do you guys think about that since you guys are young? Did you shovel any snow this weekend or did you just let it melt?
Let it melt. I've learned
shoveling
what around
snow
here.
Snow is fucking exhausting. Yeah. Bro. It is a good workout.
And we're lucky because me and my roommates, we're three cars deep. We got, so our driveway is completely covered. So like, it's only like the top and bottom. And we go over it a couple of times, it usually thins out and it melts. But first and foremost, 45 is so young.
It's so, so young.
I have three of my brothers are all in their 40s, and they're in the best shape they've been in since probably their teens. Like, they are in some of the best shape ever and getting in better shape progressively. So it's like 45 is egregiously low.
I'm glad you guys say that.
Like,
yeah, that I'm glad you guys say that.
You know.
Because that's how I feel.
I mean, at 28, I feel old. My brother's like, dude, you're a baby. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll lean into that.
True.
And it's changed my perception on training. Mm-hmm. Like, I have friends that just signed like their second contract in the NFL, and they're my age. And I'm like, okay. If these guys are preparing for war like that, and they can get their bodies ready for that, the least I can do is get myself in better shape with a little bit more focus.
Yeah.
So like, that's so young. Like,
not, so like, young.
Again, and just not realistic.
No.
What a joke.
No. I mean, I went up you guys know, I went up skiing today. Thursday is try and get out of the office and go ski for a couple hours. And it was beautiful. I mean, you know, you just go up there for a couple hours. You got to be active.
Yeah. It's and what just, else would that just qualify so you from?
Oh, like, everything. Life.
You know, if you can't
life.
Shovel snow.
Yeah.
Oh, life. You know what I mean? You're just done. That's why I said, yeah. That's in my tweet, I said, so I guess at 45, you just shut it down, move to Florida, buy a cot, ask the government to pay for you because you shouldn't do shit.
Take
I'm like,
me to the vet.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
45, I guess.
I'm gonna keep snow skiing, water skiing, hiking, and shoveling snow for the next 40 goddamn years. I'm like, are you...
Isn't that the
unreal?
Yeah, ridiculous. Unreal.
I would be interested to see, like, calculate, like a, you know, like a 2-car driveway.
Yeah,
like the actual.
I was trying to think
pounds moved in a day, like volume.
Yep.
Like well, I was moving
this snow was pretty heavy. I shoveled Saturday morning, and then we got way more than I thought Sunday morning. So I shoveled both days. I didn't think either one was heavier, but somebody said Sunday's was really heavy. I didn't notice, but I would guarantee, or I was going to say, I would guess, because there's sometimes where I get down to the bottom and that shovel's got to weigh a couple hundred pounds, you know, I'll slice it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the whole, I've got a pretty good sized driveway and then getting it off the cars. Mm-hmm. I was thinking I'd probably move 10,000 pounds of snow.
Man.
It was just, you know, just, you know, it's got to be up there.
An hour, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, I took my time. No, I did some in the back too. So it wasn't just the front yard because I had to clear some spots for the mutts.
Even when it's snowing out, I usually end up in a t-shirt by the time it's done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like go out there fully suited and then it's just like layer gone.
It takes like 10 minutes. You're sweating pretty good.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a legit workout. And probably the people who have... I don't know for sure, but passed away doing it, went out there and just probably went too hard. You just got to take your time, right? I mean, you can't do Blake's workout every day you go into the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that does happen. Like my dad had a heart attack. I don't know if I've said it on here. He's got no problem. He'll come on here and tell the whole story. But September of 2022, it was right after 60th birthday, relatively healthy, a little heavy. So yeah, he had just turned 60 in April and then he was just doing some, like, clean and brush. They live in the VC Highlands. So you just clean and brush, chopping a little wood, you know, working the chainsaw a little bit, whatever. Started feeling really, really crummy. Had a lot of chest pain, whatever. My mom did a great job hopping right on it. They took him. They lived closer to a fire station than a hospital. Mm-hmm. So she ripped him down there and, you know, all good. They threw a couple of stints in. Since then, he's feeling great. But, like, it can happen. It can happen.
He just got himself,
you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But it's not, you know, would he have saved himself by not doing it? No.
Right.
You know, and then it's like, if we live our life that way, then his whole property is at risk of having a fire because he can't clear any, you know, it's like, if you're going to live your life that way, where does it end?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I mean, well, and if you never challenge yourself, you may not know that you aren't feeling very good, and the body is so resilient, you know, whether no matter what's going on, it can hide stuff real easily. But I think when you challenge yourself every so often regularly, that you go, something's not right. This is, you know, not just, I'm weaker than I was. It's just, you know, you kind of know, hey, when I feel good, when I don't feel good. And if you don't challenge yourself, you're like, well, I don't feel very good because I never move. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So,
I mean, look at our, like, your 5 o'clock class, like Sean and them, look how capable they are. They're like, their favorite thing to do is go play basketball and they play hard and they jump around and they're having fun. And
it's
like,
true.
But it's no surprise they're capable. And we don't get little BS injuries on a, you know, 50-year-old guy rolling his ankle for no reason because they come in four days a week and put in the work. They're the most consistent group out of any – they're the only ones out of even our athletes that show up four days a week.
Yeah. This,
you know?
The ski group that I go with, the average age is probably just under 60. And there's – one guy who's in his mid-70s who comes to the 10 a.m. class, and these guys kill it. I mean, I put them through definitely not some of the 5 o'clock classes workouts, but they get – it's darn close.
Hard, yeah.
Yeah, and he's 75, and I'm like, okay, I got to keep my shit going until I'm 75 because he does. He looks great. His balance is good. He skis – Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick does.
Yeah, he skis great. He looks good. He's
fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean –
isn't that the dream?
Without a doubt.
And
keep moving.
As good as we're getting with everything in science and medicine, like man, 70 is the new 50, yep. You know? And then
yeah, I want to be 75 and have someone look at me and be like, holy shit.
That guy, right, guy. Good, right. Yeah.
That guy looks good. That's a dream.
Right, I mean, there. That's me just trying to keep up with you guys. I'm like, I just got to keep up with these guys so that they.
Well, today it'd be easy for you to keep up with me, but.
I'm doing it today. I feel pretty good.
We were talking about it too. It's funny because everybody looks at us like, oh, it's so easy for you to be in shape. You work in the gym. Our stuff's the first one to get cut out when we're busy. Justin was just talking. He's like, I haven't worked out in like direct training in a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he'll get his sessions in, but it's hard to plan and build anything when you just got to toss it.
I think last week I got three, and I call them half workouts because I was planning on doing something or I joined class if it wasn't too crowded, but I got three half workouts. It's definitely not enough, but it's something. But I think you're right, Blake. I mean, if something comes up that's hard to deal with, the first thing that goes is my workout. And and that's a little bit of a cop out for me, but sometimes it's just, you got to take care of business too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're either forced to like move it to like when I'm going at fucking 5 a.m.
Exactly.
And right. And you're exhausted by the time it hits 3 o'clock, or you just cut it out.
Right.
So it's.
And you hope. That's why I tell people, I'm like, if you have one bad day, scrap it, right? Just flush it. Don't worry about it. But I try and look at things for the week. And if it's like, okay, Rob, you got two workouts in this week, that's got to be a bare minimum of three. You know, I got to do something. So it's like, okay, that week wasn't great, but I don't do it daily. I'm like, okay, today wasn't great, so let's make sure I get something in on Friday. And, you know, I guess last week I can count the 2 days of snow removal as a little home program. So yeah.
The one I need to get better at is like, I take, you know, on any given day, five groups or sessions through a full warm up of stretching, and that's one. It's like that's free to me, and I do not use it. I neglect. Yeah, I could like. What would it be to me to just go through one of those warm ups? Oh,
that's
and
like one of my favorite things about like training, like my parents and like. If I take like his 7 a.m. or something, and he's like, "Oh, you should stretch him," I'm fucking hopping in.
Yeah,
it's just nice to.
Yeah. Even it's smart.
You well, end up like free. I end up with like an hour of stretching in the whole day, just doing 10 minutes with five different groups.
Well, even I noticed just because I used to do the warm up quite a bit more, but I noticed lately I've been trying to join a couple of the young groups just with Inchworm and Spider Man. I'm like, man, I am tight. So just to move midday,
I'll huge. Give you guys that one. I cheat that one. I don't take advantage at all.
Feel free.
I talk too much.
Feel free.
How's your day?
Well, speaking of talking, I was going to let you go next. So part of the reason we haven't been in here is Blake's been vacationing, but not really. I just say everything's a vacation with these guys because they take vacations. But Blake, fill us in on what you've got going on. And then Blake's voice is going to, Jake, you're going to have to speak louder because you're going to be taking Blake's spot in here for the next little bit. So Blake, fill us in on what you've been doing.
Both of our
We're going to be able to get Zoom.
Yes, you're going to bounce from mic to mic.
I'm going to come up with a Blake impression and I'll sprint back and forth between the
mics. We'll have to film it because we're going to have to shave your head for the punks you do.
Bald cap. We'll say baldies or something.
We're gonna have Zoom capability in here in a minute.
Okay,
so.
We could Zoom you in. Although we gotta figure out your time difference.
It's not too bad. It's 8 hours ahead.
Perfect. If we do noon, you'd be at 8 o'clock your time.
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's perfect for you. I was thinking midnight for you is right perfect.
I've been coming to the gym at like 10:30, 11. Rom's like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, okay, that's a little excessive. But yeah, so really exciting stuff. Most recently, I was just in Europe with the opportunity to coach some American football. A friend of mine just joined a team in Lille, France as their head coach. He's been in Europe playing and coaching in the American football scene for about 7 or 8 years now. So he's finally stepping into full-time coaching and really wants to push the game forward over there. So I had an opportunity to go out there and coach a 3-day camp in France. And then kind of do what we do with a little bit more of a football focus for a couple of days in London as well. But what that's opened up for me has been really cool. So here, really quickly, I'm turning right back around and going back to London again. I have the opportunity and the pleasure of getting to be the GM for a new football club, an academy called the London Pirates. Basically a developmental academy, again, just to push the game forward. So we're really excited because we bring a lot of American expertise to the platform, to the landscape. We have a really good online program platform that we use where I'm developing a team of coaches right now to just help stimulate growth in these guys. The main problem I saw over there, it's just they're good players. They're good athletes. They're 18, 19, 20 years old, but in the game, they're 3 or 4 years old. Like, for example, I have a wide receiver in France. He's a good ball player. He's 22 years old. He's only been playing ball for 3 years. So I was telling him, I'm like, man, when I was 22, I'd played 14 years of football already. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's lessons and there's things about the game you learn with time. So our whole goal is to hopefully just speed up the learning curve for these guys, maybe turn 1 year into two and help them develop, you know, faster. What was really exciting is how hungry these guys are to be coached and, and, you know, really put in the work. Like our private session we had, it was me and three guys. We worked for 2.5 hours and they were just hungry. They just wanted more, 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 more. So by getting this team established out there, having a base of operations for myself, it's a great opportunity to, A, just dump all this football knowledge out of my head that's just kind of been sitting for the last few years. You know, spending so much time in the game, being around it for so long. I wanted to be a football-specific coach for the longest time, so I took a lot in. Yep. It's just been sitting there taking up space, so it's nice to be able to just use it and give it to someone that really aspires to, like, you know, their future with the game somewhere. And then on top of that, just being able to help provide, like, you know, the youth, the high school athletes out there, opportunities to get to the States, because at the end of the day, it's called American football. It's our sport. So that's the pinnacle of the game. So that opportunity is just amazing.
So what do you think their biggest asset is? Take football out of the equation. These guys you're working with, I'm sure they've been playing sports forever. They probably get more basic, they get brought up differently than our kids, so they probably get a little bit more of a broad picture in terms of what they're doing. And I'm sure a lot of these guys are football athletes, so their feet are probably pretty good. So what's their biggest asset coming in?
I was going to say their feet and their awareness, body control.
Okay.
You know, soccer, because you can't just be flying through people in soccer. Like, that body control is amazing.
Yeah.
They're in great shape. God, they're hungry. They're hungry for it. You know,
they're into it.
They're into it. They love it. So the guys that are in the football scene, it's like punk rock out there. You know, like you're kind of walking. You're walking on the wild side a little bit.
Yeah.
Even when we were training, this little kid comes over. He's like, "What are you guys training for?" We're like, "Football." He goes, "No, that's American football. We play football." The kid's like 11, so he's talking smack to the fence.
Yes, you're right.
What?
This is football with two O's.
You know, you're so right. playing American football is, like I said, it's kind of punk rock out there.
So then, do you think the biggest issue is going to be the collision aspect of the sport?
Oh, no, that's
football. Just learning
the game. Exactly. What's cool is they don't have bad habits necessarily. Mm. They haven't had enough time to develop, like, real bad habits.
Okay.
When I got to Boise State, it was first order of business was like, let's get all these bad habits dealt with. The things that we don't want you doing that we don't fit into our schemes, we got to get rid of those first, because if it's something you do naturally, it's just going to keep showing up. And that just comes down to, like, hand placement and where my eyes are. Like, you get coached by different guys. Different coaches want different things. Football's a copycat game. So as you get to the higher and higher levels, things are done, like, more minute. At the high school level, every coach feels like they're the expert. And so they broad array of techniques.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the higher level, it's like all these guys are doing the same shit. So that's really exciting. They don't have bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And they again, they're hungry to learn. So they take the coaching, and, like, I wasn't even 12 hours out of the session. I wasn't even on my plane home yet. And I had videos from one of my guys in my folder of a whole session he did by himself of all the stuff we had just worked on. And he's just like, "Hey, when you have some time, please, can you just, you know, check this out?" And
how old?
He is 19. So actually, what's really cool about him, with their school system, we can reclassify him. To come to the States, he can redo his senior year at a prep school and then go to college as a 20-year-old. So
he can be like all the other kids at Utah that are 26, 27 when they graduate.
And a lot of them think they're too old. And that's where I brought up BYU. I have a lot of experience playing.
Yeah. Totally.
And we had some kids on our team that went on their missions and showed up, and they show up to school at 20 or 21 years old. Like, if I went on a mission, I would have showed up my freshman year of college at 21.
Mm.
And, man, that was my first real year of good development anyway. And, like, if I got to go to college at 21, graduate at 25, 26, my career probably would have looked a whole lot different.
Totally different.
You know, I was just more mature, a little bit more capable. My body was ready to respond to the weight room differently.
Totally different.
You know, so a lot of these guys think they're a little too old, a little over the hill. You know, they're just looking at bouncing around the European leagues and maybe one day playing the ELF. But No, I mean, my 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, I'm like, let's get you over here. If that's your dream, because I was telling Rob, I'm like, their dream's the same as ours. They see the 60,000, 70,000 people stadiums. Like, one of the kids was like, I don't even think we get 60 or 70,000 people that watch online across the entire league all year.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the dream, you know, and we do it the best. So being able to provide the kids, like I said, we just kind of like the expertise of how to navigate the landscape as guys that have done it, you know, that's second to none to me. And what's really cool is it's not just a team we're starting. So we have our team, the Pirates. We have the Linnell Tartarians. That's our French team. We have a team in Lisbon, Portugal. And we're about to announce a team in Hamburg, Germany.
Okay.
And it's all our own league. So it's self-encapsulated. These guys don't have to leave their high school or their university or their club teams that they're with at the moment to come play with us. It's basically a, you know, like I said, developmental program and an all-star showcase type program. So we're looking to like have a big team practice maybe once a month, two times, like once a month, like on a weekend. So we'll practice twice. Then we'll play every other month, like a game. We'll go to France or they'll come to us. And with the large goal of having a team in every European country. And then basically what that provides us with is the opportunity to take that to recruiting coordinators and say like, hey, listen, we know they play a little bit lower brand of ball out there, but this is the best you're going to see. This is the best film you're going to get on these guys because they're playing the best talent possible. And that's kind of the model. So if you think of like Perfect Game for baseball here or Trotsky baseball, one of those, like, you know, some of our guys play baseball at Northern Nevada and with Trotsky. So he's gone this weekend practicing, or I think they're practicing. So he's in Santa Clara practicing for the weekend and they come home. That's it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what we provide them on the daily basis, like I've already started Zoom calls with guys, writing programs. They can tap in with our coaches. So if I got wide receivers, they go right to my wide receiver guy on our online platform. They can, you know, get what they need. If they want one-on-one coaching through Zoom, they can go one-on-one coaching through Zoom. If they like, you know, if text-based works better for them, text-based it is, you know. So that's where we provide a lot of the American help. And then, you know, part of the reason why I'm going over there, I'll be over there April and May, throw a big showcase camp. And then my main objective is finding the best coaches in London to be my guys on the ground to assist with guys that, you know, need more closer one-on-one coaching, get to a field and coach them up there, you know, when it's game day, be able to provide those guys with the best possible coaching, you know. And what's cool is for those guys, the coaches, opportunity to learn with us too. Again, it's American football. I don't care who hears this. We play it better. You know, it's our sport. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Without a doubt.
It's ours. So not saying that I'm the one that knows it best, but as a collective group, and, you know, I'm blessed to have a really good network, we know it best. So let's roll.
Very cool.
So, you know, it's really exciting. You know, one day down the line, hopefully even soon, if things go according to plan, I want to have a team of guys from the UK come out when I come back this summer, meet me here in Reno, and we'll hit the camp circuit, the college camp circuit, and go play 7-on-7. Maybe they spend a month here. We put them up in a, you know, long-term Airbnb or whatever and show them what it's like out here, get them to compete. But
yeah,
man, they're hungry, you know? It's hard to deny.
Probably get a handful of guys that could do that.
It's really hard to deny. Like, I have two kids in Germany I was on Zooms with yesterday, and they're like, they're so thankful. That's it. Just that I would take time out of my day and call them, like, that's the most rewarding part. They're so thankful. Mm-hmm. They're hungry to learn, so they listen. Not to say, like, again, I don't know everything, but they look at me as, you know, someone that can really help them, and they trust me, and it's like, who better to work with? You know, that's a dream come true. So I'm just really blessed, man, to be stepping into that really awesome opportunity. I can't thank my friend Thomas enough for, you know, thinking of me and picking me to be the person he wants to help build.
Yeah.
You know, and man, away we go. Shit happens fast.
Very cool.
It's amazing. I've been beating my head against the wall for a while trying to find, you know,
now you got
purpose.
Now you got tons of options.
Now I got, it's, you run through one open door and just don't look back. That's all I got to say about that. It's like, don't blink, you know?
Right.
One of my favorite quotes is, opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. And it's like,
and it's,
it seems
short.
Like the opportunity's here. Yeah.
And it's short. You got to, I mean, I tell that to my guys all the time. I'm like, take advantage of what's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, if you sit on things for a while, it might not be there. And just being proactive versus reactive and taking advantage of every situation. Because there are people like you who want to help other people out or whatever it is. And it's like, if they're offering it, take advantage of that and do something rather than sit around waiting for somebody to come to you and, you know, it's bring you
like,
along.
Just staying prepared. This served me really well, you know, like it's one of these times where opportunity starts to seem like it's meeting preparation, and that's where success comes from, you know? So like, here's the opportunity. I'm not hoping I'm ready for it. I know I am. And it's just like, here we go.
Totally.
So, really exciting stuff.
Very cool.
We're going to break here for a few commercials. I'm fired up. I appreciate y'all being here.
Being physically active is just as important for the mind as it is for the body.
You know, mental health has gotten so big. Sometimes you just got to get moving and do some stuff, and how good that is for you mentally.
Take a big deep breath, get a lot of oxygen to your brain.
A Fit Life, the Living Strong series on Jack Daniel's presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, is brought to you in part by Traeger Grills, Mickey Thompson Tires, and Gator Coolers. Rob, Jake, and Blake will return after the break.
Hey, everybody, you know, we are a huge fan of Jack Daniel's, not just their product, but their mission, their culture, Lynchburg, Tennessee, the people. And we want to introduce you to the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Join us at jackdaniels.com and learn about the Single Barrel Program, visiting Lynchburg, Tennessee, participating in a barrel tasting, a whiskey tasting, picking your favorite flavor, whether it's the burn in your mouth, whether it's the maple, whether it's the different combination of flavors that you are going to experience in each of the distinct bottles of Jack Daniel's Single Barrel. You're going to be able to choose the best one, your favorite one, and purchase that entire barrel. It all comes bottled in individual single barrel bottles. You get your own hanging name tag, brand tag, your logo on it. You can give them away as gifts. Go knock on the door of a landowner and say, thank you for letting me hunt your field. There's so many options with the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. We're proud to be part of it. We have introduced it to so many of our friends and family across the country, whether it was at a business, whether it was at a duck lodge, whether it was at a conservation event. It is truly an awesome program. Learn more about it at jackdaniels.com. The Single Barrel Program. We've been involved for the last 5 years. I'm looking at two of my barrels right now. We just got our 2023 barrel in the single barrel rye. Absolutely mesmerizing. My brother Clint's Old Fashions with it speak for themselves. It's the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Check it out. Learn about it. I hope you decide to visit Lynchburg, Tennessee and get your own barrel. Thank you very much.
Looking for a high-quality truck accessory that's built to last? Look no further than Lear. With over 50 years of experience in the industry, these guys know what it takes to make your ride look and perform its best. Whether you're looking for a fiberglass or aluminum cap, a hard or soft cover, or accessories to customize your truck, Lear's got you covered. Their products are made with only the best materials, and their innovative features provide added convenience and security for truck owners. Head over to Lear.com to explore their range of products and take your driving experience to the next level.
We started American Almond Beef with the mentality to be different, to set ourselves apart, and that's the road that we're on. Our feedlots are clean. Our feed is different. Our approach to making sure that our cattle and steers are raised right. There is a story behind American Almond Beef. Northern California ranchers and farmers, the almonds, the commodity business, everything coming together to provide a feed that allows for this marbling, the flavor, the texture, the finish. American Almond Beef is where it's at. I'm telling you, get an order placed, try it for yourself, and you will not go back to regular store-bought beef. AmericanAlmondBeef.com. Thank you very much for the support. We can't wait for you to try it.
Jack Daniel's presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, A Fit Life. The Living Strong series with Rob, Jake, and Blake is back. And the coaches say when it comes to weight loss, a magic pill won't solve all your problems.
Talk about Ozempic,
the Hollywood weight loss drug.
It is. You know, what do you think is happening with this weight loss? And my first thing is they're probably losing lean tissue. If you're on Ozempic and you're 10 pounds overweight or 15 pounds overweight, I think that's probably one of the worst things you can do. You're probably changing your body chemistry that's going to F with you for a long time to come.
The Sierra Strength and Speed crew want you to know there is no substitute for hard work.
What comes easy won't last, the magic pill. What lasts won't come easy. No shortcuts, no secrets, earn it.
Nothing changes if nothing changes.
It's the lazy way of not having to change anything about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You don't have to do the hard work.
And thinking something's going to change.
Yeah. The Living Strong series on Jack Daniel's presents This Life Ain't For Everybody is made possible by American Almond Beef, the provider, and Corning Ford. Now, back to the coaches.
All right, we're going to switch gears. Got anything, Jake? You ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you're awake.
Come to London whenever you want, by the way. Rob was complaining.
I was giving
I'll
him
take
bad time.
A vacation out there.
Jake, you used all yours last year. You have none for 2024. When I go away, you're going to have to be here, and you're going to have to run the podcast all by yourself.
You're going to Nash, aren't you?
Going to Nashville next week.
That'd be cool.
Yeah,
have you been to Nash yet?
I have. Yeah, it was a fluke thing before Spencer got there, but haven't been there for a basketball game. So I'm hoping the downside is so we're going to the SEC championships out there. I should have went last year. I really debated it just because Vandy was playing better. So I think I get there. If all goes well, I get there, but they've got a play-in game. So I'm hoping to catch their play-in game. And Spencey was like, are you even going to get to see us play? I'm like, well, if you win, I'm good. And he's like, well, that's not up to me. I go, I know, but get the guys to win. It's March. This is when you got to perform. So I'm like, you just win and then I'll get to watch you the next day. So we'll see what happens.
Spencer, if they don't.
If they don't win,
it's all
yes,
his fault.
Then he's going to want to just come sit with me.
I know you're listening, Spencey.
Mm-hmm.
It's all your fault.
Yes. They played last night. They played Kentucky. They actually looked the best they have. But like he texted me this morning, because at halftime, it was, well, they were up. And right before halftime, Kentucky went off and got four threes in a row. So that kind of hurt them a little bit. But they were still only down by, I think they were down by 5.5. And I'm like, let's go. And he texted me this morning. He's like, they got some athletes, which they do. They ended up winning by, it wasn't bad. It was like 10 or 12 at home. But Vandy looked the best they have. I'm like, see, that's all you got to do is play like that. So
well, he's in Nashville. So you guys,
he's right there.
Able to kick it.
Yeah. No, he's right there. So yeah, he won't leave. He's not sure if he can go to the games, but I'm, you know, if we got to get him a ticket for one of the games or whatever, we can figure it out.
If they don't win that bad boy, they're going to the CBI, so it's not like they're, practice, but
I don't.
I haven't followed that. I'm just,
I don't know that they are. I guess, I guess maybe CBI. They're not going to the NIT.
Everybody gets a trophy now. They'll be going to the Bermuda Invitational.
That's a good, segue. We could,
a weekend away and some ice cream.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that next weekend. One of my clients wanted me to talk about Ozempic today.
Okay.
Do you know what Ozempic is?
This is what everybody's using to get skinny, right?
Yeah, it's the Hollywood weight loss drug.
It is. It's what
is
do you
like
know
a
what
diabetes
it's
medication?
Do you know what it is? Yes, exactly. That's where I was going. So it actually has a use besides just trying to get skinny. What's that?
It's like ivermectin. Right? Isn't that when people were taking during COVID? Isn't it like,
yeah, that was like a thing.
It's like someone, like the horse drug or whatever. Is that one?
I don't
people
even
were taking like horse medicine.
That's
just
not familiar to me.
Pop pills for the wrong reason.
Well, and honestly, that's my thing. I'm like, if you put something into your body, I mean, don't fuck with Mother Nature, right? Honestly, I'm like, and some of these people really don't have any weight to lose. So if you're So the question that was posed to me was, you know, what do you think is happening with this weight loss? And my first thing is they're probably losing lean tissue right along with their weight. Now, if you've got a problem, if you're pre-diabetic, I don't even know that the drug is beneficial. You know, you got to weigh the pluses and minuses. And if you're pre-diabetic and you get on a good diet and workout program, 9 times out of 10, you can switch that around, right? So type 2 diabetes, a lot of that is lifestyle stuff that can be changed versus type 1 that you're born with. And that's a problem. I mean, that's a system breakdown that has to be addressed, right?
It's like not even the same thing.
But if you're pre-diabetic, and what's funny, again, and maybe I'm off, maybe it's not 9 out of 10, it's 8.5 out of 10 people could probably readjust their lifestyle and fix themselves. So if you're on Ozempic and you're 10 pounds overweight or 15 pounds overweight, I think that's probably one of the worst things you can do, because I'm thinking, yeah, you might be losing a little fat, but you're probably losing some good lean tissue.
Yeah.
You're probably losing some of your body water, and you're changing, depending on what age you do it, you're probably changing your body chemistry that's going to F with you for a long time to come. So I don't know. I mean, you guys are younger. I don't know if you know anybody who's doing it or have talked to anybody or just the Hollywood.
I got some suspects.
suspects.
I haven't asked.
We're on to you.
On to me?
No, not you.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to the audience.
I thought you were looking at me. You gave me the death stare. I was like,
we're talking to the audience.
You haven't changed since I was training in here. So hats off.
I try not to.
I mean, hats off to you. Maybe it is because you're in the gym every day, but I'll give you that one.
Like, thank you.
Since I was 12 years old, Rob's damn looked the same. So,
oh yeah,
you know, and I'm lucky because I've been bald since I was 12.
I came out like this.
The stored 100% just like that.
I'll bring in pictures when I was 12, okay. 13. It's like the kids we were talking about the other day, the ones who have totally transformed. You know, the middle school kid that's a little chunky.
Mm.
That was me.
Really?
Yeah. I was slow. I couldn't do a legit pull-up, I don't think, until I was 18.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was working out hard, but I wasn't doing...
Yeah.
I was doing bench press, squat, yeah. That, you know, the just stuff. The bodybuilding. Yeah. Yes, the boy stuff. So, no, I was a chunky little monkey until... And then I got into weights in high school and started to change. But but that was my goal, you know, was just to stay this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, with the Ozempic thing, I guess my biggest thing, I don't even know what it does... As a diabetes med.
Isn't it? I don't know.
I honestly, when they asked me this, this was today, when they said, here's what I want you to talk about. I was like, okay. I go, damn it. Now I got to go home and read up on it first. So
yeah.
I can't answer that question. Blake's going to Google it for us. So it probably changes the way the insulin response is in terms of breaking down the blood glucose and putting it into the muscle. So it's just trying to lower the blood sugar. And there's probably each drug's probably a little different. One probably inhibits the way it's absorbed, and one probably changes the insulin response. I don't.
Diabetes.org.uk.
Okay.
Ozempic is taken as once weekly injection to manage blood glucose levels and HbA1c in people with type 2 diabetes. As a GLP-1 analog medication, it increases the levels of incretins, a hormone which helps your body to produce more insulin when needed. It also suppresses the amount of glucose produced by the liver.
I was kind of barking up the right tree.
Yeah, you're
that was close. So, and with that, I've heard a couple people who said it helped them with their cravings. I don't know how it does that or what it does, but I've heard a couple people say they felt like they ate less. But again, let's just mentally prep ourselves and eat less, right? I don't know. Yeah. I think when you start messing with that biology and chemistry, man, you're playing with fire.
It seems so lazy.
That's the issue to me.
It's just like it's people that don't want to actually do
it. Yep. Here's the magic pill again, right?
America, that's I want a shortcut to everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I could just do an injection in my ass once a week.
And this is
and I'm good.
No, it goes in your gut.
Well, the thing to me is like,
sorry.
At some point,
might be able to put it there.
Do you develop like a? It doesn't affect you anymore. You know what I mean? Like, when
tolerance.
Does the magic pill? When does the clock strike midnight on the Ozempic, and your body is like, okay, well, this doesn't do it for me anymore. You just need another one.
It's going to happen, right?
Like, yeah. You know, and even all the way down to supplements like pre-workout. I know guys that can't go to the gym without it. It's like, okay,
I can't think of his name. What's his name?
Dabo.
Dabo. Yeah, Dabo Sweeney. So this is, and it may not even be his quote, but I just picked this one up the other day because it goes right to what you guys were saying. It was going to go on the board. They don't put championship rings on smooth hands. Right? Meaning what comes easy won't last, the magic pill. What lasts won't come easy. No shortcuts, no secrets, earn it. I mean, it's been that way forever. We talked about it a handful of weeks ago when we were talking about, hey, is what's on the top of your list of something you've achieved? Did it come without work? And both of you guys were like, no, not a chance. It took working, and it's the reward at the end of that work that you put in the time. I mean, I don't know.
My dad sent me a cool bumper sticker he saw today. It just said, nothing changes if nothing changes. You know, and I'm like, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense.
Right.
You know, it's just like you said,
you,
it's
Forrest.
Just the lazy way, right? It's the lazy way of... not having to change anything about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You don't have to do the hard work.
And thinking something's going to change.
Yeah.
Right? So many people are like, oh, well, it'll just happen. What are you doing to make it happen?
Yeah.
Is it
absolutely
sustainable?
Nothing.
Like, you're giving yourself a false sense of hope of like, oh, I'm skinny. You know, like, it's not about, as we've talked a million times in here, the scale is like the least important thing in our whole gym.
Right.
Ours is, we don't even have a digital one. I mean, we do somewhere, but, you know.
It's beneath the mileage.
We got a couple of those pals.
but that's where it belongs.
Right? We don't need it.
Yeah.
Unless
exactly.
those 5 PMers are doing competition.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yep.
a kid just wants to know what they weigh. I haven't even seen that thing used
right.
in
no,
our place.
It doesn't get used.
That's so
much.
Not what and, we do is about.
And that's why it's yeah. in the corner, right? Not yeah. in the middle of the room, because yeah. it really doesn't. It doesn't have a purpose for yeah. the most part. Yeah. yeah
so even like my sister now, like she's doing bodybuilding. Like she asked if she needed to like weigh in. He was like, I don't give a fuck about that. Get a good camera. Take photos of yourself. We'll see the changes.
But it's like yeah. a body composition.
Yeah. I don't give yeah. a fuck if you can. Yeah. 10 pounds if it's all on your fucking delts and you're
right.
good, you
right.
know?
All yeah. shoulder and muscle. Yeah. yeah. So I don't really, I mean, everybody's going to know our philosophy with that, right? I mean, it's yeah. right there. We're easy to read. So I don't really know what else to go into there, but I really think as those people lose weight, the chances of them losing that lean tissue, and that's one of the things we've talked about. Hold on to your lean tissue as long as you mm-hmm. possibly can, because at some point it's going, and then you won't be able to shovel snow at age 45 because you've taken too much
Ozempic.
And then
we come and we shoot you.
that's right.
It. That's it.
Right.
Well, and it just turns into like, okay, you want to solve one problem, potentially cause 5 more. Did right. you really yeah. take a step forward yeah. or are you just like, is it a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not stopping any bleeding. You're still not, you know, have you found yourself in a place of better health actually?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Are you healthier?
Yeah. And I know for really? A lot of people, weight is a big mental block, you know,
yeah.
where that
yeah.
mentally, if they can drop a few pounds, they feel great. And that pushes them to be like, oh, I want to do more of this.
Yeah. yeah.
But when you know you're not doing the work, did you earn that like that check mark of like, good job, yeah. you know, like,
right.
I don't know. That's
right.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. And I think for some people, maybe it's so aesthetic in terms of just all about the look. But,
yeah, a lot of
but I don't know. I see there's going to be fallout with this one. There's going to
yeah. be,
oh, there'll
be
there's going to be some fallout.
There'll
it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
It's like, yeah, I would love to get shredded right now. My weight hasn't changed a pound. My body composition's twice.
We're going to have to do the one thing that we talked about
yeah,
before you split.
Yeah, that'll be great. I think it'll be great.
I really want to do it.
We got to go yeah. hammer, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Can we tell them? Can we say what we're going to do?
Sure. Sure.
So we're just going to show up in the morning, fasted, throw, probably do something like Jake or I tried this morning. Get a crazy
We'll probably
pump,
do a stupid workout.
Yeah. Get a crazy yeah. pump.
Going to have to.
Take a picture, all of us, looking really good, good lighting, everything in the gym. Then we're just going to go have a day. Eat
I'm
going
to go fatten myself
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we're going to eat good.
I might even
Maybe
buy
we'll
breakfast.
Use those, Chaps talking about buffet. Maybe we'll go hit the buffet.
There you go.
We'll
we might hit
drink
a buffet.
A couple beers, you know,
yeah.
really put it on
I'm
ourselves.
Gonna,
and then
I'm
we'll just
do
take
the
it.
Only thing I do better than working out. Let's eat.
eat sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Eating. You might eat 12 times that day. Every hour on the
I
hour.
Think I can push 13.
So go ahead.
So it would be like a 12-hour difference maybe? And we'll just
I'm
snap another pick?
We'll definitely do it early. First round will be at 7.
Yeah.
And then second round, like mid-afternoon.
Okay.
So we're going to have to eat fast. So basically, we're doing before and after pictures because I can't think of anything worse out there maybe than Ozempic that shows people, hey, this is what I look like before I started working out, and this is what I look like after. And you got the female who's got shoulders that are broader than mine, and she just made herself look chunky because she wants to do this picture, or she's hasn't lifted in a year, but you can tell she's got an experience of 20 years backing her up. And then either diets or maybe her before picture was her after picture was taken before the before, like we're going to do. So we're going to take pictures in the morning. We're going to pig out all day. There's not going to be any lighting tricks, no airbrush, none of that stuff. We're just going to, it's just going to be, here's pictures before and after, all done in the same day. And look at how different we look. Don't believe the bullshit out there. Cause we just, I mean, somebody was saying something the other day and they're like, you know, the nicest thing about what you guys do, it's all about being real. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is real. You know, it's, we're putting in the work, we're doing the stuff. We talk the talk. We, you know, what we, the information we give people is real. We don't talk about, hey, take this supplement. We're not selling stuff. We're not doing that. So that's just, this is just another thing. Hey, here's what's real out there. So we're going to show you what we look like.
Yeah,
in good photos and maybe not so good photos, and how different you can be in the same day just from eating a bunch of sushi or having a beer and getting all bloated and taking a picture.
No, and even more than like, don't believe the shit you see on social media. Like, don't believe the shit you see in the mirror either. Like, that's the kind of the bigger message is like, your eyes are lying to you at times. Like, if you're putting the work in, you're pursuing, you know, health through, you know, physical means by working out and eating healthy, like, your eyes might lie to you 3 days out of the week.
Yeah.
Don't let that put you down. You know, like that's, to me, that's the more important thing. Like, A, don't look at other people and compare yourself to them, but then don't get down on yourself because like you wake up one morning and, you know, like you said, you feel a little bloated or whatever. It's like,
yeah.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into one of the things I want to talk about with Jason, because he was talking about it was, you know, mental health has gotten so big, but, and I don't know who did it the other day, but it was kind of streaming all the stuff that they talked about how beneficial working out was. You know, so many people on the mental side right now, and I don't know if they're using COVID as their excuse or whatever, just, you know, the bad times there. But, you know, it's sometimes you just got to get moving and do some stuff, and how good that is for you mentally. And you know, when we have the afternoons where we got 45 kids bouncing around the walls, and it's like, this couldn't be any better for this population than what we got going on right now. And so I think that is, we are hard on ourselves, right? We're the, yeah, we're the worst critic of ourselves. And we look in the mirror and we're like, damn, I don't look good, but do something about it, right? Just, yeah, keep moving, going in the right direction. Watch what you put in your mouth. Do the little things.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of clarity, like how many of our best planning sessions or conversations just about what we do in our gym happen mid-workout for Jake, mid-workout for me, mid-workout for you, or we're all working out, yeah, and just kind of like popping ideas off each other. Just there's like a level of clarity,
yeah,
and like, you know, there's like a real rawness to like the conversations because you're,
your
like
brain's
going,
just working, yeah, better because you're moving.
Exactly. Yeah. You're
totally,
you know, taking big, yeah, deep breaths, getting a lot of oxygen, totally, to your brain. Like,
no, there's, like there's
some of
there's
best
times
combos happen that way.
Okay. Yeah. No, there's times where I go into the gym and just kind of, I'm just doing a few things, taking notes, but just playing around with sets, not really doing anything. But it's amazing just some of the things that come through, and I get some clarity for what's going to go on that day in terms of what we need to do overall.
Yeah, yeah, like even if physically I'm a little tired, my next three sessions flow so much better because like I'm in a state of like,
yeah,
movement, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm some of my best, like, you know, epiphanies I've had about training some of these kids have happened like, I had just worked out hard as shit. I'm mentally drained, physically drained. Start training. I had a plan. I see something, whatever, you know, the universe smiles on me that day. But like, I have this like real mental clarity just because I've emptied myself and I'm just more perceptive to what's going on and what I can see. And boom, we make some big gains on days like that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. All right. I got one more thing that we'll mess with. So, what is, just going back to the kids, we'll kind of finish with the kids stuff. What would be to you the biggest thing, Blake, that you like to do with the kids? And I'm talking like middle school, high school, that young age group in terms of getting them going.
Compete in any capacity we can.
Okay.
So if it's in the team setting, it's easy. Pair them up and let's race.
You know,
what kid doesn't like to race?
Okay.
Play tag. Any type of games we can play, like let's play. If we're doing one-on-ones, then it's, let's compete against the clock, or let's compete against ourselves. Did we catch 12 balls last time? Let's catch 15. Or
nice.
We got 20 jump ropes. Let's get 30. Like,
yep,
that's, competition's, yep, always great of any form.
I like it. We'll come back. I'll let you talk. Jake, what you got?
I would have to. That was my first thought too. Was getting to be creative in teaching them like what we want them to learn, whether it's movement or jumping. Like anything, when you can create a game or a competition where they're actually going to get their full effort out of them, that's when it's fun.
Nice.
Otherwise, like you're just making them do squats or a circuit or something. They're not invested. It gets boring for you. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just better if everyone's having a good time but still getting work done.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
We talk about it all the time. We got to trick these guys like that.
That's
trick
literally
them into good
what
positions, and you, yeah, go, perfect. That was exactly, you know, that drill we did 3 days ago. That's what I wanted it to look like.
Yeah.
But we finally got you there. I tricked you. You didn't even know we were working,
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, because we were playing with a balloon.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's, yeah, amazing. It's amazing.
Like, you left that balloon there, and I did it with Gavin Bodie.
Uh-huh.
And I was just trying to get him to change direction, like, be able to spin. I just said, hit this up and just go back and forth and keep it in the air. And finally, they're, like, full-on sprinting. He's hitting it, running back. And I was like, okay, this is all it took.
Yeah.
Perfect.
To make tricked my job right, yeah, easier as a balloon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we've talked about it before. I mean,
what's that? A clown. All I need is a balloon.
Yeah, that's
time.
It.
I'm a clown.
Right. It's perfect though, right? I mean, some of this stuff is so easy. And that's kind of, where I was going with this is I wanted to see if either of you chose strength, and you didn't, because, you know, we've sat here before and we've roundtabled, hey, what do the kids need, blah, blah, blah. Strength is one of those easy things to get. And so one of the things I heard the other day that I really liked is give them strength that they can use versus strength you can measure, right? So it's so much of the movement stuff and so much of what we do is transferable, right? Which makes it more functional for what we're trying to do. So everybody's like, oh, we got to do functional movement and functional this. And well, what's functional? And so it's just like you said, kind of Blake, going back to tricking them to move better or move clear, and then finally get that response where they're like, oh, I see how that felt, and go, okay, now put that in your memory. Let's do a few more and see if they can repeat it, and then start to go from there. Because so much of it is not just tricking them, but doing things that they perceive as being fun or not really working out. And then all of a sudden it clicks for them. Oh, that's how I stop and change direction. That's where my body needs to be so that I can create that movement or be in a better position to get that ball. And so it's funny. And I think that's what's been really nice the last couple of years with volleyball is we're getting way more creative at how we do those little things. And maybe what we need to do is put a couple of videos out on some of those, like the balloon ones. It's awesome because they really can get a good workout out of just tapping it. And then they got to run and touch something, get back and tap it again. And before you know it, they've done four or five back and forth and they're moving better, just trying to get to that ball before it hits that balloon before it hits the ground. And it's funny to just see it click for them and they're like, oh, that was really hard, but that was fun, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Just finding ways for them to win. Like that's the next biggest thing for me is like building the confidence in them, like that they can win, you know? And it's like not hold their hand and not like just trying to like fake wins, like letting them win, but like putting them in positions to succeed. So, you know, whatever that looks like, finding ways for them to win so they understand how good it feels. And then they, you know, they try naturally. They're just going to try harder. They love the way winning feels. Success feels great. I mean, works for me. You know,
the confidence thing, I think that's one area where like strength, like the stuff that you can measure is really good. Because like you'll see it with the leg press with the girls. They get on there and they're like, oh my God, I did 250 pounds. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can push this and I have something.
Let's try 300.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like baseball kids are they're always about that. I did 120 on the chest press.
Which it's funny because ultimately when I started, I didn't really want any machines, but you can't, you know, if I went all the way back to grad school, it's funny when we were functional training was just kind of coming out and whole body movements were just kind of coming out because it was kind of this switch from bodybuilding. And I remember we had one guy and he was like, all I'm going to do, I can't remember how he phrased it, but he went on to PT school and he was like, all I'm going to do wasn't functional movement. Maybe it was closed chain. So closed chain is like your squats, your lunges, things. And those are great exercises because more of the body gets utilized in those. And I'm like, yeah, but you still have to do some individual muscles depending on where the weakness is. And so I do love our machines. And we've talked about it before because a lot of times you can throw somebody on a machine and go, okay, I'm going to put a weight on here that's going to be really hard for you to do. I know you can do it. Here's what you have to do. And they have to figure out what it takes to move that weight. And sometimes that's so much better because then you can go, okay, now we're going to go squat. I'm going to put some weight on your back. You can do this, but you just did it here. So now we're going to duplicate it a little different way. But I wanted you to get that confidence so we can go over there and just do it and you don't just take the bar off the rack and go, oh, it's too heavy and put it back, right? So some of those machines have come in really handy. You can't just go, oh, we're only going to do lifts with bars and dumbbells because that's the golden, you know, the golden ticket. For some people it may not be, you know, it may be that they need to do a machine and go, oh, I get it, that's how you want me to push that thing.
Well, just watch them, they push into it, it's a brick wall, like, all right, first thing they do, sit up straight, get themselves posture correct, like, you know, get ready, big deep breath, and they push it moves. It's like, okay,
see,
you had to, you know, we had to adjust a few things. So understand the process of like
it wasn't too heavy, I wasn't doing it right.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You had to change.
Preparing for it.
Exactly.
Right. Right. You had to change your focus, your attention. Like, you had to put your feet into those.
Just walk out and you immediately drop down instead of, I'm going to brace here, tighten here.
Yeah.
Screw in my feet. Like there's shit you got to do first. And like.
Then you squat.
Be ready for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it can teach that for
sure. Definitely tricky. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was easy. Is that it? You guys got anything else?
No. I'm good.
Okay. We're going to leave it at that. We're going to see if we can't get Blake in here one or two more times before he splits.
Yeah.
We got a couple of guests that we're getting ready to bring out. Don't give me that look. I'll tell you when you need to know.
Yeah, and if you guys, like, if anybody listening has anybody interesting that they like that they know they want to hear or that they know would like talk to us, like
Gabby was like, "Can I come on the podcast?" And I was like, "Probably. Like we could talk about your D1 experience."
What does she have to give? What's she going to
be? D1 athlete and she's a female.
We haven't had a female. You are right. We have not.
So you
we have
get,
not
get perspective, but we're open to anybody.
We are open.
Yeah.
I was just giving you the look because I wanted to see what she was going to bring to the table.
You got to provide value around here, Gab.
She probably would have asked the Ozempic question. What do you think?
And she's Kim not. Kardashian she's thinks. Not even. She's nowhere near.
Yeah.
Not an option. Not a choice. Not a thought in her head. Get rid of that.
I told her. I was like, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You're watching.
Put your phone away.
She's watching Kim K too much. I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Turn that TV off and freaking.
No injections. None of that.
No. No. No way. Not at. What is she? All of 23.
Yeah,
not a fucking chance. All right, on that note, later. Thank you, Chad.
Thanks,
we'll
Chad.
Be back. See ya.
Encourage a healthy, active lifestyle in today's youth and make it fun.
What's the biggest thing that you like to do with the kids in terms of getting them going?
Compete in any capacity we can. Pair them up and let's race.
You can create a game or a competition where they're actually going to get their full effort out of them. That's when it's fun.
Give them strength you can use versus strength you can measure.
A Fit Life, the Living Strong series with Rob, Jake, and Blake is supported by Flask App, Oakley Sunglasses, and Lear Toppers. It's time for a cool down. Rob, Blake, and Jake will wrap the show right after this.
Gator Coolers, the official cooler, the official drinkware of the Foul Life podcast and Benelli's The Foul Life TV. I love the brand, Louisiana, the McGeehee Brothers. Brian, my man, I just got the new Big Grip. The best Big Grip, 44-ounce cup with a handle. You see all the hype out there about a certain brand? Just test them. Turn them upside down full of liquid and see what happens. Turn them sideways. What happens if it falls over in your car? It won't leak. It's designed perfectly. The straw system, it does not leak. The Big Grip available right now at GatorCoolers.com. As well as all of the coolers. You can personalize your padding. We have the ability to personalize your drinkware, your cooler pads, your cooler wraps. I don't care. Get them on wheels. Get something that you're going to use this spring and summer. Keep your food cold. Keep your drinks cold. Keep your ice iced. I'm telling you, Gator Coolers is a brand that supports the outdoors. It supports fishing. It supports hunting. It supports conservation. Just look at what they're doing with agencies like Ducks Unlimited, California Waterfowl. It's Gator Coolers. I'm Chad Bell. And I'm so honored to have Gator Coolers be the official cooler and drinkware of the Foul Life podcast and Benelli's The Foul Life TV. Get you a new Gator today. Vision. I just had a lens retraction surgery last year. It's pretty much like cataracts that you're going to get in your 60s, 70s. Everybody's going to get it. Once you get it, your vision is there. It's never changing. Artificial lenses. I had it at 40s, and I'm telling you, with what I do with duck hunting and scouting and watching my daughter grow up, I'm just so thankful that I'm back to 2015 in my right eye and 2020 in my left eye, thanks to Dr. Matt Mills, who you've all heard on our podcast. But I want to protect my eyes, and that's exactly where one of our badass partners comes in. Oakley eyewear, the Oakley culture, the Oakley lifestyle. Protect your vision when you're shooting, when you're fishing. Nothing worse than getting a hook in the eye with somebody casting on the same boat. You just can't take it for granted. The damage the sun can cause, the rays, the UV, just keeping the dust and the dirt out of your eyes, just everything during a hunt, pit blind, boat blind, it doesn't matter, sun up, they make different lenses for different skies. They're sold all over the world and they support the military and the Blue Line. And conservation and hunting and fishing in the outdoors and living off the land. And we never hunt without our Oakleys. Everybody's like, why you always got your sunglasses on? Shouldn't be wearing sunglasses. You probably shouldn't in turkey hunting. I don't wear them in turkey hunting because of the vision of a turkey and the reflection. But when I'm shooting trap range or the sporting clays or the skeet or the five stand,
or I'm in a duck hunt or a goose hunt, I have my Oakleys with me at all time. I put them in my banded backpack. I have them in an Oakley hard case. I keep them protected. The prism, lenses, everything that goes in to the technology behind the Oakley brand and the frames, the function of them, all of the different lenses that you can get, like I mentioned, and the way they protect our eyes. The prism lens technology is second to none. You got to get a pair of Oakleys. I know there's a lot of choices out there when you want to protect your eyes, but remember, please support the brands that support this lifestyle. Oakley, the official eyewear of the Foul Life TV, the Foul Life podcast, and everything we do here at The Provider and Where the Pavement Ends. Thank you so much for supporting Oakley. Have you heard of the fun button? FlaskCap has reinvented the way we use tumbler cups. Everybody's got a tumbler cup. Come on, let's admit it. This tumbler cup is different. The Matic lid is different. The 6, the 9. Nobody wants glass in their boat. Nobody wants glass anywhere because of what can go wrong. If you go into your buddy's boat and glass breaks, that's a no-no. So you got your mixers in the cooler. You might have a 2-liter of Coca-Cola, Classic, Coke Zero. You might have some club soda in a plastic bottle or a can. Stuff that doesn't break and get glass that's nasty and will cut your feet up like no tomorrow. The Flask Cap allows you to store your spirits, your Jack Daniels, in that Matic lid. And with one touch of that fun button, it disperses a shot into your mixer, down there with your ice, your Coke, whatever it is. You can have vodka, you can have gin, you can have tequila. We choose Jack Daniel's Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey, and you have your cocktail for the day. Remember to enjoy it in moderation. Never allow underage drinking. Be safe. But FlaskCap supports the culture of the American outdoorsman, the American outdoor enthusiast. And they keep it safe, they keep it ethical, and they keep it fun. The entire brand, the culture, the messaging is exactly what we're all about here at The Foul Life. We're proud and honored to be teamed up with FlaskCap. Check them out at FlaskCap, FlaskCap.com, and you are going to be so happy and take pride. Get your name on it. Get your logo engraved on it. Again, it's all about moderation. It's all about safety. Be careful with that fun button. One is enough. Two can be a lot of fun. Three is way too many, but you're going to keep that glass out of the boat, off of those beaches, and you're going to have a blast consuming alcohol through the FlaskCap. Again, thank you for supporting FlaskCap. I'm Chad Belding with the Foul Life Podcast and the Foul Life Television. Thank you all very much.
A Fit Life, the Living Strong series has come to an end for today.
We're going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and if anybody listening has anybody interesting that they know they want to hear or that they know would like talk to us, we're open to anybody.
We are. We're open.
Thanks, we'll be back. See ya.
For all new and archived broadcasts of A Fit Life, the Living Strong series on Jack Daniels Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, hop on the World Wide Web and head for SoundCloud, iHeart, Spotify, and ThisLifeAin'tForEverybody.com. Thanks for listening, and get active.